You're listening to Speak Loud, resilient stories of triumph and hope, helping you to turn your past into fuel for your best future. Here's your host, founder of the 501c3 Share, providing resource and support for trauma victims, and a survivor herself, Tiffany Barnes.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Speak Loud podcast. As always, I am your host, Tiffany Barnes, and I have the pleasure of introducing you to a very special lady. We had a chance to chat a little bit before we hit the record button. She has some phenomenal information to share with you guys. She's got a journey of her own that she has dealt with as far as abuse goes. She comes from a land far and wide, actually where my ancestors come from. She is residing in England, born and raised in England. And she is a mom. I say that's her most important job. She's a mom, but she wears many hats. She's an author of a book called Victim to Victor, as well as a podcaster. And to keep things straight, it's the same title, Victim to Victor. She is a trauma and PTSD specialist, as well as a counselor and an emotional freedom therapist. I love that. A Reiki master, a hypnotherapist, and a yoga instructor. I've been meaning to try yoga. I need to do that sometime in my life. And like I say, she is from England. She's got a ton to share with us here today. So without further ado, please welcome Anu Verma.
Woo! What an intro. I am mega impressed.
Yeah, you're a celebrity, right? I mean, and the crowd goes wild.
No way. Was it fake it till you make it? I love it.
No, there's no faking here. You are a victor, and I want to find out how you got to that victor state. But before we talk about it, lead us into a little bit of your past and your journey. And again, we want to kind of keep it surface level because we don't want to trigger anybody. We want to, you know, make sure people kind of understand and resonate with where you've come from. So take us into that journey. It sounds like your abuse started really young, 3 years old.
I know, right? And that's how old my son is right now.
Oh, wow.
It was three. Yeah, yeah. And I'm feeling it because at the moment I do have a therapist and a coach. So, you know, I am kind of still working through things. You know, I'm not fully healed. And I know because I've got a three-year-old son now, and that's the age where a lot of my trauma started. So, you know, all of my feelings have been coming up, you know, like, again, not trusting people and, you know, just becoming a bit of a victim, actually. And I just felt like I really needed to, kind of go more into, you know, why these emotions were coming up. And it's all interlinked. So, yeah, so my abuse started at the age of three. It was an actual tenant who was, you know, actually renting a place at our house, and, you know, continued for a good few years. You know, I won't go to nitty gritty of it because, you know, it might trigger somebody, and we don't want that right now because this is a positive show. And then it happened again at the age of seven with an uncle. And again, I think by that time I was just kind of really depressed, and I just had no respect for myself, you know, at such a young age. And then just loads of feelings of vulnerability and insecurity kind of followed me throughout my life, you know, throughout my teens and then my early adulthood. And because I was in that trauma state of mind, I was attracting bad people into my life. So it was just like a constant vicious cycle of darkness, you know, attracting like these horrible partners into my life who just abused me and tormented me. And I just thought it was normal, you know, and it continued on. And this is why I've decided to write a book and get it out there, because the amount of abuse that I endured and the many different kinds of abuse, you know, physical, violent, sociopathic abuse as well, you know, it's all been very tormenting on me. And it's taken me like a decade to heal. And that's why I've been able to learn a lot about all the different healing modalities, because I benefited tremendously from them. And now I'm hoping that by, you know, learning about these techniques, I can become a specialist, I can actually help others other survivors.
Wow. So that puts things into perspective. Right now, your son is 3. Yeah. That's when you endured your first memory of it. Yeah. And it went on until, was it your 20s or how long of a time frame there?
Yeah, up until my 30s. Because I was just going from one bad relationship to another. Again, because, you know, I had no idea what was going on. I just thought that I just needed to be in a relationship. Like, I needed a man. I needed love. But these men that I was drawing to me, it wasn't love, you know. They were alcoholics and druggies and just narcissists, sociopaths, so, you know, the works. And it was just kind of like, you know, all the abuse was just hammering me down. It's like, you know, you haven't learned anything, you know, let's see what else we can teach you. And it was only really when I hit about the age of 30 that I kind of I was introduced to spirituality and meditation, and I found a healer and a therapist, and that's when my life started to unfold.
Wow, that really resonates with me too, because I feel, and I hope I'm not trying to say talk therapy doesn't work, which tends to be what a lot of Western medicine is, right? Like, go to see a therapist, talk about your problems. And I've done that. I'm sure you've done that. Many of the listeners have done that. But it wasn't until I started finding more Eastern modalities, like you're speaking of, you know, meditation, Reiki, somatic healing, things of that nature, that I really started to have the process of healing begin, where it wasn't just a Band-Aid or a surface level, you know, method. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, yeah, because I did. Like, you know, I tried counseling, you know, talking therapy, but I think I had a few sessions and I was thinking, what is this? You know, this isn't even hitting the amount of trauma that I'm enduring right now, you know? So I just kind of just brushed it aside, just thinking, oh, you know, counseling's not working, because I didn't know there was other things out there. The fact that, you know, like Reiki is just amazing, you know, because it really helps unblock all our chakras, because, you know, majority of the time when you're traumatized, all of your chakras are blocked in your body and they need to be unblocked. And you can only do that through, you know, the likes of Reiki and emotional freedom therapy, again, which is another amazing technique where it taps on your acupuncture points. And again, it's all to do with, like, you know, detoxifying the body and opening up your energy fields. And getting rid of the trauma, of the baggage that we're holding.
So let's say somebody's listening to this episode and they've never been into spirituality in that regard. What is something you can tell them to maybe open their eyes to it? Because I know I was once one of those people that said, oh my gosh, Reiki therapy, the people don't touch you, they just hover above you and they're going to like clean your energy. Okay, woo woo, like bullshit, right? I thought, this is not for real, it doesn't work. And then what made me a believer, believe it or not, is my dog. My dog had some back issues. He still has some back issues. He's 13 years old, the first dog I ever owned. And I had gone to, you know, the vet, and they tried all these, here, give him this pill, give him this shot, do this, do that. And then my neighbor had said to me, well, have you ever tried a pet psychic? And I'm like, a what? A pet psychic? Okay, now we're getting a little weird. Okay, this is crazy, and I'm not going to do that. But I was desperate because I wanted him to stop hurting. And so I called, funny enough, her name was Patty, the pet psychic. And she came over. And she did a session with Max, that's my dog's name, and she was here for like 2 hours. And when she showed up, he was like shivering and yiping and defecating on himself and just not in a good space. And by the time that she had left, he was calm, sleeping, snoring, not in pain. And then I started trying, you know, acupuncture for my dog and red light therapy and some of these other modalities that humans use. Yeah. And that's where I started seeing, okay, well, if this works for my dog, which sounds so funny, but it's true, why don't I try it? And then I went, it was a Groupon, I think. And I don't know if you guys have Groupons there in England.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a Groupon, and for it was a holistic called Holistic Body Works, where they did a Reiki session. I'm like, what will it hurt? Wow. And I walked out of that session where the grass was greener, the birds sounded more beautiful, the world seemed more amazing. And that was my first experience with Reiki, you know? And so it's just kind of interesting. What advice do you have for somebody listening that's like, that stuff's hokey pokey, that doesn't work? Like, what can you tell us about it?
It is. Wow. Okay. So I had a couple of Reiki healers actually, and it's this technique, it's called Uzumai, and it's like a Japanese, you know, tradition. And it was only when I first had my Reiki, you're right, you know, I was a bit skeptical about it as well, but many things were happening in my body, like kind of grumbling in my stomach, you know, because there was some shift going on. And especially because I had my eyes closed, I couldn't even open my eyes. And I knew there was stuff going on, you know, which would never have gone on if I hadn't have come to this session. So I decided to, go back and give it another shot. And I did. There were so many amazing, you know, times when I just felt like I was being blessed, and, you know, I felt like there's things being lifted out of me. And, you know, it was a magical experience. And I, because of that, I actually got attuned. So I got attuned, which means, you know, they actually put the Reiki energies inside of me. And for about a whole year, I kind of trained in my level one, my level two, and then my Reiki master training. And it was all for my own development, because I just felt the powers of it. And I just felt like, I was so intuitive, like I could pick up on people's energies, and I could then sense that, this person's got quite a negative energy, I need to stay away from them. Whereas I didn't have that, you know, that kind of intuition before, and that's why I was attracting so much bad into my life. So Reiki did it transformed my life, and it helped to protect me from bad people, you know, negative energies. Because we are, you know, if you think, like, around us, we're like an auric energy field around us, and we have to protect that, and Reiki does that for us.
It's such a true point. I'm kind of surprised that you weren't an empath or intuitive younger age, because I see that a lot of people who've been through trauma and abuse, unfortunately, sexual abuse is a number one form of abuse, and that's the first one you endured, it sounds like. But excuse me, that you didn't feel that within you prior to starting your training, right? You know, that is kind of interesting to me. But I do want to ask this. So you talked, and I'm kind of digressing a bit here, but you talked about being in relationship after relationship after relationship, and it was the wrong one every time. You know, it was another form of abuse, or maybe the same form, but just a different person. Yeah. Was there ever a period in that timeline that you were by yourself, or did you literally jump from relationship to relationship to relationship?
I did. I was scared of being alone. And I think a lot of this is because I was so vulnerable, you know, I was vulnerable, and I knew that people were picking up on that. I was just so innocent, and I didn't have a clue, really. And that's why I say, you know, now that I'm getting older, I feel like really I'm feeling younger, because I just feel like I'm so much more wiser now. And, you know, I've got so much energy because, you know, a lot of the trauma's been released out of me, and it's just baggage. It just really holds you down. And I think, yeah, I was just scared of being alone, which is why I thought that I just needed a man in my life to give me the love that I didn't have for myself. You know, I was trying to fill a void. And I realized now that's the worst thing that I could have done. And hence why now I've decided to just let all the men go and actually just love myself, right?
So when was that pivotal moment for you, though? Did you start to explore Reiki when you were in a relationship, and then you healed those energies as you were talking about? And then you're like, okay, I can do this on my own. I can be that victor rather than a victim. How did that happen in your life?
Yeah, well, at the time, I was actually with a narcissist. And I feel that, you know, the universe led me to Reiki so that I could get that intuition, that feeling inside my stomach, to actually get rid of this man, because he was so toxic for me. And this is when I started to believe in the universe and started to believe in spirits, you know, that there's a higher force out there who's looking down on me, you know, why aren't I dead right now? Because the amount of guys that I was with who were threatening me, one was, you know, he was going to blow my car up, and another one was, you know, he just damaged my whole property, and, you know, just really vandalizing everything, you know, that I owned. And I just thought, why am I still alive? You know, these guys could have easily just like killed me, you know, and because I was on my own. I had nobody. And, you know, and again, we all know that with abusers, what they'll do is they'll manipulate us and control us to just be with them so that we get rid of all our family and friends, all our network. And then, you know, once we're there, then it's easy for them to just do whatever they want to us, right?
Right. Yeah. So then when you decided, I'm no longer going to stand for this, I'm capable of being on my own and being victorious of this, yeah. How did he handle it?
Not very good at all. Wow. Just, yeah, the amount of abuse that I endured, you know, because of that, the amount of times that he tried to make me feel so little. And it did. He did make me feel little, you know, say, you know, the old saying when they say, oh, you'll never find anyone as good as me.
Yep.
You're a damaged soul, you know. Everything he said was probably true, because I was a damaged soul, you know, I was lost. I need to go and find myself, you know, who the heck was I, you know, where's my love for myself, where's my self-worth, where's my self-esteem? And, you know, and sometimes you have to get rid of these toxic people in your life so that you can go on and discover who you are.
Right.
You know, because we just get lost in the social conditioning and just, you know, the pressures that are placed upon us to fit into society. That's not who we are. Our true essence, our true being is, you know, deep inside of us. And, you know, we need to understand who we are. And, you know, one of the things that I would recommend for your listeners is just to start, you know, again, I don't know if anybody is meditating here, but just spend a few minutes every day just meditating, you know, listen to some guided meditation tracks, or just try and tune in and, you know, just look at like a point in between your eyes. Just focus on that for a few minutes. You'll be amazed by what you discover about yourself and what comes up. You know?
Yeah. No, I agree. I am a meditator myself. I mean, I can say that it was hard at first. Why do you feel meditation is so important to a person's healing?
Because I just feel that we get lost. We get lost in noise. We get lost with just like, you know, the atmosphere. And I feel that with meditation, it really helps to center and to ground us. And, you know, we need that. It helps us to understand who we are as true beings. And I think we just need that centeredness, which we don't get during the day, because we're all so busy, aren't we? We're so busy doing this. We need to do that. We've got all our to-do lists. But how about just being, just, you know, being in your own presence? You know, and it's amazing, because since my kind of whole, you know, development of loving myself, I used to always need music on or something on in the background, but now I just sit in silence and I love it, you know, because I just love being with me. And I think that that's a massive change from how it was before.
That really resonates with me. I feel it will resonate with the audience as well, because I was the same. I'd always have to have music or sound in the background. And I think it's because you feel you're not alone.
Yeah.
But not only that, you're not having to think, if that makes sense. Not that, you know, you're not having the dark thoughts creep in and things of that nature. And I think with meditation, one thing that I was hesitant towards even starting it is, I don't want to sit in silence and hear my thoughts, you know. I've got a lot of scary stuff in this head, you know. So, you know, what about if somebody's feeling that way? What if somebody's listening and they're like, okay, I've always wanted to try meditation, but I also don't want to hear all the crap that's going to come up. Do you have any guidance in that?
That is going to come up. And if that's coming up, then that means you need to go and get some therapy. You need talking therapy. You need to talk through your issues. It means that you haven't been exposing yourself. You haven't been expressing your feelings, because the only reason that that will come up is because they're trapped somewhere.
Right.
So go and release them, you know, join support groups, join therapy groups, or just, you know, come here and talk on this podcast.
Yes, absolutely. So even when, you know, you talked about Reiki therapy and how important it was for you, you know, we're kind of bouncing between the meditation side of things and then the Reiki therapy. You carried that dark energy around with you since 3 years old. So, you know, and you didn't start the Reiki, I think you said, so you were in your 30s, you know, and so 20 plus years, we're talking that you carried this darkness around with you. So now knowing what you know and the way the universe works, and I think you and I are on the same page on a lot of these things here, you were attracting because the energy inside of you was attracting like versus attracts like, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't feel worthy. You didn't feel enough, all these things. So most likely your abusers were feeling the same way, but their way of acting it out was to be a narcissist, to put their hands on you or whatever the case may be.
So it is, yeah, like attracts like, you know, what we give out to the universe is what we are going to attract to us. So, you know, if you're feeling that way, if you're feeling like that's all you deserve is abuse, then the universe is going to listen to you, say, okay, that's fine, here you go. And this is why, like, it's so important. And oh my God, the amount of times that I've heard it in talks and on YouTube about just, you know, affirmations and manifestation and positive self-talk is so important. You know, we need to be giving out what we want in our lives. And if you're sat there gossiping about people, or, you know, just being judgmental and, you know, just talking bad of people and bad of yourself, and if you look in the mirror and you think, oh my God, I've got such a fat bum, you know, the universe is going to give you that, right? The universe will give you a fat bum. Don't say it. Just say, wow, my bum is so fit, it's so tiny, oh my God. And that's when you fake it till you make it.
No, it's so true though. Even if you like you say, what, fake it till you make it, but I feel like it's also a perspective. Like it's almost like you get a new set of eyes, you know. You might still have the same fat bum as you put it, but once you have a different vision of yourself, you start to be like, oh, well, it's not that bad. Actually, it's starting to look more fit, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I've noticed that with myself, and I'm sure you have too, that, you know, not just the, you know, affirmations, like the Saturday Night Live skits, standing in front of the mirror. Oh gosh, darn it. Everybody loves me and I'm so special. But, you know, you are your thoughts, and your thoughts become reality. You know, there's that famous show, The Law of Attraction. It's on Netflix. People have read the books. People have heard about the Law of Attraction. And it's just so true. The Law of Attraction is a real thing. You know, what you put out is what you attract, but also what you put out is what you become. And so I think the energy side of things is where it's so important. And I think it's hard for people to wrap their head around, because energy is not tangible. And it's just, in society, we're such a, you know, fast paced, we want to see, touch, feel to believe, right? And with energy, you can't feel. I mean, yes, you can feel. I don't want to say you can't. You can feel energy, obviously, but you can't touch it. You can't see it necessarily, unless you're trained to see it in ways and things of that nature. But, you know, it's easy to be skeptical against, you know, Reiki or hypnotherapy or these modalities that you have expertise in, because people can't touch it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And this is, I mean, you know, we spend like how many thousands of dollars and pounds a year on, you know, making ourselves look good by going to the gym, buying clothes, plastic surgery, makeup, hair, the amount of money we spend on hair. How about your inner self? What are you doing to your inner body, right? Like, yeah, you know, some people might be juicing, green juicing, it's, you know, it's all beneficial, but how about your mental health and your soul and, you know, just your, in your body, you know, what is going on? Like, what are you doing to fix that or to help it to thrive? You know, and this is why yoga is so important as well, because yoga just helps to connect your mind, body, and your soul, right? It works on all areas of your body. And, you know, you look at people like Madonna, you know, it's not a lie, the fact that she looks amazing, however old she is now, you know, she's a yogi, you know, and that's what yoga does to you. It makes you look really young. So, you know, there's a lot to be said about, you know, these, healing modalities and holistic health.
Sure. Well, even just stress, what it does to your body, you know, stress can cause cancer. I know I had a very stressful job for 10 years that I recently got away from 3 years ago. And I look at pictures of myself, and you can just physically see that I aged, you can physically see that I was unhappy, you know what I mean? And it manifests itself into your appearance for sure. Definitely want to try yoga though. I need to get on the yoga train. My thing, instead of yoga, my physical thing is cycling. Like I like to go out and I ride my bike through the mountains and, you know, 30 miles a day or so. And so it's my release, but the mind-body connection is so real. It's so true, you know, and if you don't handle or get a handle, I should say, on the stressors of your life and the trauma that you've endured, it's going to physically manifest in health issues and your appearance and all of those things that you're talking about. So yeah, I 100% believe that's true. So what led you to yoga? How did you get into yoga?
Wow. And again, it was all part of my healing because I traveled a lot, you know, and you know, you said from the age of 3 up until 30, you know, I had all that trauma that I was carrying with me. What did I do? Well, all I was doing was just working as much as I could. So I was obviously trying to keep myself busy through working. And then when I wasn't doing my 70 hour weeks, I was off traveling, backpacking. So, and I traveled a lot. I was going on a lot of retreats. And again, you know, even though I was escaping, I was running away by going to a lot of these amazing places like Thailand, you know, Goa and Burma. I was going on yoga and meditation retreats. So I was really feeding my soul. And my love for yoga started when I did my month retreat in Goa.
Wow, that's awesome. And how long ago was that?
So I started that when I was 22, when I just graduated from university. And then I was going kind of continuously, you know, I was doing like 6 holidays a year at one point, just, you know, running away. And then I did another big kind of retreat, which was like a 6-month adventure when I was 32.
Oh, wow. So, so you're a mom now, though. We talked about that. You've got a 3-year-old son. A couple questions I have on that. First question is, what's the relationship like with your ex? I'm sure you guys have some custody, you know, sharing going on. With him being a narcissist and the things that he did to you, how is that now? How's the relationship between the two of you now?
Oh, yeah. So, well, the father of my child, he was actually one of the good guys that come after.
Oh, good. Good.
But the narcissist, he... like again, you know, I write about him in my book, and you know, he's renamed and everything, you know, to obviously prevent any unlawful acts.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he like I had to take him to court because he owes me a lot of money. So he's actually paying me back for 18 years. He's like paying me back. So you know, for me, justice was served because I won in court. You know, but the father of my child was one of the good guys that came after, and. You know, we've still got a connection. You know, I think what happened was because of my rapid like growth phase that I was going through, you know, when I met him, I was really into Tony Robbins, go to all of his Master University conferences, you know, and I was just like, my growth was just heightened. And I think, you know, he just didn't know how to handle me.
Yeah, you kind of outgrew him quickly, it sounds like.
I did. And I write about this in my book, and it's easily done, you know, when you're on this journey and your other half isn't and he doesn't really want to be. It's easy. You just grow apart, don't you? I mean, and we tried for so long to try and make it work, but I'm too fast for him at the moment. I'm just going at a real rapid pace.
Right.
What can you do? You have to just go with it. Enjoy your life. And I'm enjoying my life. I love being a single mom. Obviously, some days, you know, I think it'd be nice to have somebody, but the universe, I'm sure, will bring him to me. At the moment, I am visualizing a lot. I'm visualizing my partner.
Yes, putting it out.
Girlfriend.
Yep. So what are you doing then to make sure that you don't repeat the cycle of abuse? Because we know people who've been abused tend to repeat the cycle. What are you doing to stop it with you as far as your son?
I won't. I will never, ever attract another bad man into my life. I'm just too aware now. I'm just way too knowledgeable. I can pick things up very easily without being judgmental. Again, that's another learning that I'm going through, is not to try and judge too quickly, but I could just really pick things up, you know, even when I'm meeting somebody online and just by the way that they message me, if it doesn't resonate with me, I won't carry the conversation on.
Right.
So I'm being very reluctant to trust. Again, I will trust, and I do trust, but they've got to be the right people, right? The ones that are going to add value into my life, the ones that are going to, be pure and natural. That's what I want now.
And so I'm sure, of course, yeah. But I'm sure you're also going to teach your son how to treat a woman correctly, not to be a narcissist and obviously an abuser and all those things. I'm sure just because of experience, you're going to teach him that as he grows as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm sure he's seeing that now, with all the work that I'm doing, with my podcasting. I'm sure he's going to pick all that up. And that's what I want him to. I want him to pick all this up. I don't want him to, just think that life is all about just trying to survive. I want him to thrive. I want him to see that, he can be whatever he wants to be, and not have to struggle like we had to.
Right. I want to talk about your book and your podcast, Victim to Victor. What inspired you to start both of them? Let's start with the podcast. What inspired you to start that podcast? And what's it all about for people who want to tune in?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's basically, again, I just felt like it was brought to me from the universe. I've got a really good friend and she just kind of suggested it to me. And I was like, all right, let's give it a go. And it is actually for sexual abuse survivors. It's all to help kind of the healing. It's to help with trauma. And I've got a lot of my own, talks on there, which I've done around kind of controlling behavior, about narcissism, about, even like going into the rapist mind and, paedophile's mind. I mean, real kind of hard hitting subjects. But, for the feedback that I've got is that I've really normalized a lot of these topics. And then I started to introduce a lot of guests onto my show now, just being contacted by some amazing people. And again, I love talking to them and just, you're learning, aren't you? You're learning a lot about people. And I just think it's amazing just kind of sharing the knowledge that we have to the world like you are, I just think what other gift could we give to the world than sharing what you do?
Right. And letting people know they're not alone, in there, because abuse is so rampant. It's an epidemic in the world. Yeah. Here you are in England, I'm in the States, and it's not because I'm here, you're there. We experience different numbers. It's the same numbers. 1 in 4 women, 1 in 6 men before the age of 18. And number one form, as you know, is sexual abuse. So it's just so interesting that, they say cancer doesn't discriminate. Neither does abuse. Abuse hits all races, all colors, all genders. It's all over. And we're just doing our part to try to stop it one person at a time, right? To change that victim to a victor. And I love that you've chosen that title. That's amazing.
Yeah, so, it resonates with you.
Yes, it really does. So talk to me about the book. What made you want to start a book? And, how long ago was it released? What are you hoping readers will take away from reading the book? Take us to the road.
Oh, wow. So the book was started just as a journal. I started writing that when I was going through my Tony Robbins programs and coaching, and they were kind of forcing me to start writing, but not even writing. I was doing a lot of dictaphone writing, and it was transcribing into words. So then, I kind of realized, oh, wow, I've got 20,000 words. I could actually make this into something. And then when I was reading, I was like, oh, my God, this is just so like depressing and so sad. I was like, I don't want it to be like this, so I was just working on it more and then kind of putting a lot of reflection words into it and a lot of good, amazing good things that happened in my life in it as well. And again, the feedback that I've got is that my traveling experiences has really inspired a lot of people. So I'm glad it's not all doom and gloom and the fact that it is an inspirational book. And then I just thought, right, I don't want it just to be about me. I want it to be educational too. So the first part's all about me, memoir. And the second part is about abuse and trauma, just to educate people, because, knowledge is key. Like, we need to understand what's going on in our systems. And then, so that's very scientific because I've got a scientific background. And then the third part of the book is the healing modalities. So it educates people a lot into emotional freedom therapy, hypnotherapy, kundalini yoga and normal yoga. And then the fourth part is all about just, it kind of evaluates the book quite nicely by saying, you know, you have a choice to make. This is your decision now. You have to choose what you want to do with your life. And I think it really is spot on, because we do, you know, we have a choice. Either we're going to accept what's happened to us and move on from that, or we're going to live in as a victim. You know, we're going to drown in what's happened to us and just carry on being miserable. You know, what do you want to do? And I think that's where my title resonates from as well.
Right. So how does one get from victim to victorhood, you know, victimhood to victorhood? What's like three key components you feel are part of that?
Definitely. First of all, you need to acknowledge what happened to you. You know, there's no point in hiding it, because I feel everybody is quite good at just hiding what happened and, you know, burying it deep into the surface, into the ground, but it's not going to help you. And I know I did that for many years, thinking, you know, it's fine. And I think a lot of the time people don't even know what's happened to them, right? This is why therapy is so important. You know, I know that I probably disqualified it in my life, thinking that it wasn't really working for me, but eventually, you know, it did work. And it's time, it's going to take you time to get there, but you have to keep talking. So keep communicating with people, keep talking about your feelings, don't suppress yourself. And then once you've acknowledged it, you have to accept what's happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just accept what's happened. So acknowledge, accept. And then after that, it's all about kind of forgiveness. And how you get to forgiveness is about healing, you know, yourself as well. And just by healing yourself, you learn to forgive yourself and anybody else who's ever harmed you.
I'm glad you said the forgiveness piece. I've talked about that in previous episodes as well. You know, forgiven my abusers, forgiven my stepfather who's gone to prison for what he's done, you know, and my parents themselves. And people are like, how can you? How can you forgive? Like, after all of that, how do you forgive? What do you feel the key to forgiveness is and why it's so essential?
It's not essential to the perpetrator, of course. It's essential to you, right?
Right.
Because when you're not forgiving, you're resenting. Yeah. And you're holding that baggage. You're holding what's happened to you. You're holding the demons, you know, within you. You don't deserve that anymore. You know, you need to get rid of that. You deserve happiness and love and fulfillment. And you can't be holding this resent and have happiness at the same time. You know, there's no room in your body for that, because resent is like, it's big, man. It will take over your body and your mind and your soul. You need to get rid of that so that you can make way for goodness, you know. And that's for me, that's what forgiveness was for me.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I love that. You are such an amazing person. You have such a light that you're just shining across the world. And I just appreciate everything that you're doing. Before we end here, I want to talk about a couple more things. I want to read your book, first of all. Let's say the audience wants to read your book or tune into your podcast and become a subscriber for that, or any of these modalities that you offer. You know, you've got all these different therapies that you can provide for others. How can people contact you, buy your book, sign up for any of your coaching, all of that good stuff?
Yeah, sure. So my main site is victimtovictor.net. And so that's victim with a number 2, victor.net. And so that's my website if you want to contact me on that. And you'll find a lot of different healing, meditation, exercises on there, as well as a lot of articles. And you know, you can find out all about me. You can even buy my PDF version of my book or my hard copy as well on there. Obviously, Amazon's very popular for books anyway, so you can go onto Amazon, and my book's available on audio, so if you want to listen to it instead, then you could go onto Amazon or Audible. I think they're the main kind of channels. And then I am on YouTube, I'm also on Facebook and Instagram. And so on Facebook, I'm Victim to Victor. And then I've also got another few channels, which are Healing Journey. So it's basically all about healing, really.
Okay. I'll be sure to put that in the show notes. So those of you who are listening, all you'll have to do is literally just click on the show note. It'll take you directly to the site or any of her social media pages. And just to be clear, it's Victim, the number 2, Victor, not T-O, but the number two, Victor. So yeah, be sure to follow her. I collect books from everybody who's been on the show that's an author, so I've got to get yours. I've got to read it. Somehow I'm going to have to fly to England and get you to autograph it, which I'm complaining about. But no, I just appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise. And like I say, you're just such a light. If you had to, I want to ask you kind of this pressing question. If you had to go back and have this conversation with your younger self, what would you have said knowing what you know today?
Wow. Yeah, the inner child, right? I've done a lot of inner child work. And I think what I probably would have wanted her to know and to feel is love, because I never even understood what that was. Just to be hugged, to be cherished, and to be told that, you know, whatever's happened, it's not your fault. You know, everything's happened because it was meant to, because it's meant to make you who you are today. Just to make her understand that, you know, it's fine, what's happened to you has happened, but you can't be holding that now, and it's time to move on and to show and share your light with the world, which is what I'm doing, what you're doing, right?
Exactly. We're light workers. That's what I call us. We're light workers.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. 3D, 5D, right?
Yes, exactly. So before I get into 20 questions, I have the most important question of all. Who is Anu Verma?
Oh, wow. Who is she? This is a question, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Anu Verma. Wow. She's very ambitious. She's always looking at how she can help others. But I think most of all, Anu is fucking awesome. I mean, I just swear.
That's all right. You're good. Oh, I love it. And I would agree. You are. You definitely are. I'm not going to repeat it because you only said it once, so that then I don't have to put explicit on the episode. No. Oh my goodness. So give me what you want these listeners to take away. What's the one takeaway you hope the audience will leave with from today?
It's easy for me to say to love yourself, but how do you love yourself? You know, and I just want you all to probably sit there with yourself and just think about, you know, your strengths and think about your qualities. Because a lot of us, we don't. We're so critical, and all we think about is, you know, the things that we're not. Sit there, just even if it's just three things about yourself, just, you know, have those in your head or write them down or just say them out loud. It's the power of your own words, your power of your own belief system, right? That's what's going to transform you.
Is there a quote that you love more than any other quote?
The one that really resonates with me is actually one of Tony Robbins. And it's in your moments of decision where destiny is shaped. Mm. So it's up to you now. You can sit there and you can wallow about what's happened and hate the people who have ever caused you harm. Or you can decide today that, no, I'm not going to let these people, you know, have this power over me anymore. You know, this is my life. I am in control of my life, and I am empowered, and I am going to make my life how I want it.
Mm, I love that. That's so beautiful. Everybody has the opportunity to change it all around, right? Every day we wake up, we are given this gift of changing our circumstance from that victim, as you say, to Victor. We're given that gift every day. You can't say, well, I'm so far down this road, nothing can change, or it's never going to be how I want it. That's false. Every day you're given that blessing and that gift. So
this is it. And it's just, I mean, again, you know, because I listen to a lot of like Gary Vee and Mel Robbins as well. And just, it's just, you know, the fact that we've been given this life, you know, we've been given life. I mean, we could have been an ant or a tree, yeah?
But so true.
We've been given life, yeah. So we have been brought on this earth for a purpose. You know, what is our purpose? Why are we here? And again, it's a hard question for a lot of people, because a lot of people don't realize what their purpose is, because again, they're just so like kind of tuned into, you know, society and all the pressures and thinking that they should be someone who they're really not. it's a difficult question, but you know, it's only by self-awareness and by, you know, switching that TV off and actually really tuning into yourself, you know, doing some meditation and go to therapy and, you know, surround yourself with positive people who are going to help to transform you and to help you succeed in life. That's how you're going to learn how to have the most fulfilling and passionate life.
And it just starts with a step, right?
Yeah.
It's the start of anything.
It is.
Okay. Well, before I get into 20 questions, any last words you want to share?
I guess it's just, power of love, right?
The power of love. Yes. Love
power
that.
Power of love.
Oh, we're going to get a musical number. Yeah. Let's go. Come on, girl. You got this.
Let's go.
All right. So I have here a list of 20 questions. I am not going to ask you 20 questions. We'd be here for, I don't know, maybe another hour.
But yeah.
I do want to have you choose a number between 1 and 20.
Oh, 18. Because in England, that's a legal age that you're allowed to start doing stuff.
Did you have a childhood nickname? If so, what was it and why?
Oh my God. Yes. New, new.
New, new?
Yeah. And one of my email addresses is still newnewverma@hotmail.com. Oh, I still use it because it just makes me smile, right?
Well, no, it actually, it's funny you say that. So my niece and nephew call me Nini.
Oh
my,
my
cousins call me Nini because they could never say Tiffany. So I am Aunt Nini. So.
Nini, yeah. And Nunu podcast.
So we got the, yeah, new podcast show, the Nini Nunu show. Oh, geez. I love it. Well, this has been a pleasure. And again, I appreciate you. I know it's like 8 or 9 o'clock at night over there. And my day is just kind of starting. So, you know, just thank you. Thank you for doing what you're doing. The light you're shedding on the subject of abuse and all the people you're helping to turn their life around to be victorious of their circumstance. Keep doing it. I always end this podcast with a quote that says, "Be the change you wish to see in this world," by Gandhi, and you are being the change. So keep on doing it. You guys go follow her. Go buy her book. If you want to utilize any of the modalities that she has to offer, again, that will be in the show notes. If this episode resonates with you, do me a favor. This is a labor of love for me. I don't have sponsors. I don't receive money from this podcast. This is something I do because I know it's my purpose. We talked about purpose on this podcast. This is the reason I'm on the planet, is to let people know they can overcome. Same for you, Anu. So be sure to share this. Share this episode with somebody you think it will resonate with. Go on, if you are an Apple Podcast listener and subscriber, rate and review the episode, because the more ratings we have, the more people know about it. So again, be the change you wish to see in this world. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Speak Loud. If this message resonated with you, please feel free to share it with anyone you feel could use the support. To find out more information about Share, our movement, and to join the cause, please visit sharethemovement.org. Until next time.